Welcome to the MedTech Talent Lab, the number one catalyst for advancing careers and building high-performance teams. Sponsored by the Anthony Michael Group, helping companies secure in-demand talent in regulatory affairs, quality, clinical, engineering, R&D, and other areas for medical device, digital health, diagnostics, and other organizations across the U.S. life sciences sector. Here's your host, Mitch Robbins.
All right, welcome back to another episode here on the MedTech Talent Lab podcast. I'm your host, Mitch Robbins, the founder and managing director here at the Anthony Michael Group, where we build companies and careers across MedTech and the greater life sciences industry. Joining me today is Ms. Kathy Jeffrey, the Chief People Officer at Element Science. Kathy comes to us today with over 20 years' experience as a senior leader overseeing people operations, talent acquisition, and organizational development. She's had the opportunity to scale 5 startups across industries, including paratherapeutics in the digital health space. Kathy holds her bachelor's degree in human resources from DePaul University in Chicago and her master's degree in managerial communication from Northwestern University. Now, for those unfamiliar with Element Science, the company is a medical device and digital health startup that leverages data science and machine learning to develop life-saving wearable solutions designed to deliver an outstanding patient experience. Without further ado, Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. I appreciate that intro. That was fantastic. Thank you.
Well, I'm honored that you have decided to join me here today. I've got a ton of respect for what you've done with your own career, and I'm excited really to kind of dig into what is your bread and butter expertise today, which is scaling companies, building culture, working on organizational development. We're going to talk some DE&I, which I know is a passion of yours as well. But to kind of really kick us off, you know, I want to kind of call out the elephant in the room about culture. In my opinion, the word culture, it's such a buzzword, right? And I think a lot of times people throw out the word without necessarily knowing what they know what they're intending to say, but they don't really get it across by the word culture. I think it's just way too overused. So I want to ask you, what does culture mean to you? How do you define it?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I truly believe that culture is the way you do things around your organization. And, you know, I think it depends on each organization is going to have a completely different culture. And your culture can also shift and morph. But culture isn't about like the parties that you have or things like that. That adds to it. But it's really more about how do you make decisions? How do you communicate as a team? What are some of your policies? What's important to the leaders in that organization that are driving that business? And you really have to look at it in that regard, that it will morph, it can, but keeping a really good eye on culture and making sure that it's staying in the way that you want is an important part, especially as you're scaling an organization and watching it grow.
Take us behind closed doors for a minute, if you would, because the way I look at it, like even in my own company, if I talked about the culture, there have been very few times, admittedly, where we have gotten together as a group and said, what do we stand for? It's usually that something happens and we make a case for, we're not going to stand for this, or this is what we want more of, right? And it kind of happens by happenstance. There's only been less than a handful of times where I can think back to where we talked about our values and we talked about what do we want to broadcast to the marketplace about who we are and why, right? In a company that you're scaling, I'm all over the place for a minute, but so let me stop. When we say that you've scaled 5 startups, what is the earliest you've come in? How many employees have you come in to an organization with?
Yeah, the earliest I came in was at 40 employees.
Okay.
And that was at Ignite Sports Media. And then Pear, I came in, I was about 100 employees. And here at Element Science, I came in about 75.
Okay. So when you've come into each of these companies, there's already been some sort of quote unquote culture happening. Is it a diligent conversation, like a on purpose conversation with the executive team when you come into an organization about, you know, going around the room and talking about this? Or is it just happening? And then when things are not going the right way, then you have a meeting?
Yeah, I love this question because it really depends on your leadership team. And I can tell you, Pear, as well as Element Science, I had a really great leadership team that cared about the culture and cared about the values. And what's different about Element Science, where I'm at now, they actually call them behaviors. What are our core behaviors versus values? Because those behaviors kind of drive the business and kind of what good looks like. And I was fortunate to walk in when they just rolled them out, but they didn't know what to do with them. They're like, okay, we have these now. What do we do? And so taking those into account, well, now how do you weave them into your practice? How do you weave them into your rewards and recognition, your performance management, especially when you don't have a performance management system, to things like recruitment? So that was, for me, one of the best parts is coming in right at that stage before they do that, so you can do it really well and kind of ingrain it. So over the last year, we've seen that morph. And so people really live and breathe our core behaviors. We have them on our walls throughout both of our offices. People will hashtag them in our Slack channel. They talk about them. One of our core behaviors is called Be You. And so you'll hear people regularly talk about one of our core values in a meeting, in a sentence, like be you or enjoy the journey, and so we made them so that they're really relatable. And I think that's a part where I think that this is probably the strongest company where I've seen that they really stick. And they got the employees vote on what they wanted too. So these aren't just from the leadership team. This is from, a core group of employees that helped develop that.
Is this the first time that you've seen it this way, where it's rewarding behaviors versus rewarding what was the other word that you used?
Values. Core
behaviors versus values. Is this the first time you've done it this way, or is this something you've done in the past?
No, this is the first time, because before it was always values.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of nuance. I think people could connect to it a little bit better because it's a behavior versus a value.
Yeah.
Because the value is what the company holds, but the behavior should be what the employees are being held to the standard for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I heard you say, because I'm thinking about organizations who are listening to this now, or leaders who are responsible for driving organizational development and culture, and they're maybe recognizing that they've got major gaps that they're trying to fix, or maybe they're mm-hmm. building their company, kind of find the building while you're flying, so to speak, and they're listening to this. Other than it being on the walls, it sounds like there's hashtags in the Slack group. Mm-hmm. People bring it up intentionally in conversations. What else are you guys doing to reinforce the behaviors that the company wants to see?
Yeah, well, we've embedded them in our rewards and recognition program, and we have kind of a three-tiered system. So it's in our Slack channel, which is kind of like the everyday 24/7. You can Slack someone on our gratitude channel. And then the other one would be our quarterly award. And we tie that to, you can, if you've had one of these behaviors, like you're emulating it, you end up winning, you get, lunch and you with somebody of your choice, you get a day off. Like, so that kind of rewards them and reinforces that, that great behavior. And then kind of our annual award is around, they get to pick an experience of their choice, and that really, and people love it. So in grading that, we've gone through a full cycle now since I've been here of that program. So it's looking really well.
That's awesome.
Really well. Yeah.
That's awesome. So you said, did you say 75 employees when you got there, or did I miss you? You did.
Yes.
And how many do you have now?
We're about 115 right now.
Okay. So I can imagine, just with the success and the momentum that Element Science has, obviously you're going to continue to scale. How do you, in a rapid growth organization like Element, how do you balance culture and some of the things that you're talking about as far as reinforcing the behaviors you want to see? How do you balance that with rapid scale and kind of keep consistent some of the things you want to keep consistent with what is a smaller group today that is going to turn out to be a much larger group?
Yeah, well, you definitely have to have some type of support system. So putting in the rewards and recognition program was one of the things that I thought was most important, number one. Number two, the second thing coming in was really building out the performance management process and system, and then weaving in those core behaviors as well into those. At the same time, having conversations at the leadership level around performance, competencies, core behaviors that folks want to see. Are they still the same? Do they still feel right? Thinking about going commercial, which is the next step in a company like ours, is, you know, doing a lot of planning around that. So what I'm really fortunate is that this leadership loves talking about people. And that's not always the case. Business usually always comes first, but this organization really talks about people and how to motivate them and how to get them to the next level. And that's coming from all the way to the top, which is really great to see.
Yeah, you're fortunate in that respect, because I was thinking about this. I'm like, at what point does culture, is culture a value that is important enough to have conversations around, right? Because at the beginning, I think a lot of times it's about fundraising, it's about activity, it's about people, you know, hair on fire. But at the same time, one could argue that culture begins from the day you open your doors as a company.
100%.
And I don't know if everybody sees it that way. I really don't. I don't think they do.
Well, I think there's an old saying, culture eats strategy for breakfast.
Yeah.
So I think that's very true. And most companies, if they haven't recognized that, they feel it later. But 100%. Yeah, culture is such an important part. And like I said, I think I'm fortunate to have our CEO who believes in culture quite a bit.
Well, so. And what's awesome, and this is a great segue to what I want to ask you about next, but what's awesome about that is if you start early and often, you start to build a brand in the marketplace that is respected at a very early stage, and then it becomes a magnet for sought after talent, right? And it makes recruiting job a little bit, I should say a little bit easier, because I don't think recruiting is ever an easy job by any means. But with that, I want to talk about recruiting for a moment. You're in a super competitive geographic area in the Bay Area. Mm-hmm. And there's so many med tech organizations all vying for the same talent. What are you guys doing differently to attract talent that is in demand? Obviously, I should call out the elephant in the room. Obviously, we're in more of an employer's market as we record this today. Right. But overall, there's still a major demand for the same type of talent in a finite geographic area. Talk more about that if you would.
Yes, definitely. So you're right. It is an employer's market, but we still have to be really mindful of candidate experience and how are we attracting good talent that's going to help us take us to the next level, especially as we prepare to go commercial. So it's really important. And so we have had a lot of conversations recently at the leadership team around competencies and, you know, where are our gaps in our organization and what competencies we need to fill with our current employees, as well as we bring new folks in. And so with that, you know, I think our organization will continue to scale as we move forward. And once we get our PMA, that will take off probably like a rocket. So it's definitely a good time to get in now. I don't know if I answered your question though.
Well, I want to talk to you, I think, a little bit more in depth about that and push you a little bit harder, because the thing that comes to mind right now is employer value proposition. Mm-hmm. What is so compelling, so differentiating, so unique that's going to stop somebody dead in their tracks and at least have them see it as a no-brainer to have an exploratory conversation with you guys? And there's two tracks of talent. There's folks who are actively out there and they're doing their research and they find out about Element one way, shape, or form. There's those who are gainfully employed who are, you know, ultimately open to the idea of exploring new opportunities if it was an enhancement to what they're doing, but they need to be there has to be a proposition. Are you guys proactively fleshing out a true employer value proposition internally, or is it kind of happening, you know?
Yeah.
I'm at a loss sometimes for words.
I see what you're saying. Yes. We have our EVP. And when I think of our EVP, I think there's a couple things that set us apart. Now, some of them, I think, were very intentional from the beginning. So Uday Kumar, this is his second organization. His first one was iRhythm Technologies. And so, you know, he has a very successful career in being an inventor, a cardiologist, electrophysiologist. So very smart individual, very kind individual to lead the organization. And I think that really kind of permeates throughout the organization. Like, we pride ourselves on saying we don't have one jerk in our company. On top of that, what's different is Uday allows people to listen in on our board calls. That's every employee.
Nice.
And it's such an unusual thing. You just wouldn't know. And I don't know how long that will last. But right now, it's, you know, it's really intriguing to see this, understand, you know, what it's like to listen into a board and what questions are being asked and how are they being held accountable and things like that. So that's really a nuance that I think has been important. The other one is the company's never had a mass layoff in the organization, which I believe creates more security and safety in the organization. you know, and as we grow, there might be some changes to that. But really, in reality, that to me is worth its weight in gold. Another thing that, you know, as an organization, we are in Silicon Valley, so we don't actually, we're a startup, we're a scrappy startup. Mm-hmm. We don't necessarily have all the bells and whistles that, you know, the larger organizations might have. We don't bring luncheon every day or anything like that. But what we do have is we have fantastic camaraderie. This organization has employees who will go and get their lunch, bring it back, and sit down in our kitchen and eat together, which I think is completely rare. I've never seen that before. Another thing is, I think a big part of it is we hire people who are smart, who are likable, who are very professional in their work. And so people enjoy each other's company. We also take employees out for a day usually, or half day, at least once a quarter, to celebrate what we call our small wins, big or small. And that also continues to build that great camaraderie.
You know, I love so many things about what you said, because most companies, when you ask them what their employer value proposition is, they immediately go to, we have a great culture, we have a great team, we've got great benefits, we offer yada, 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 things that are fairly similar from company to company, which is not technically a unique value proposition. But some of the things that you mentioned right off the bat about Uday's background, about the fact that there's complete transparency with these board calls, I've never heard of that. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The fact that, yes, you're talking about camaraderie, but you're backing it up with specific cited examples of what's happening in real life, that is value proposition. Those are things that people want to know as to what is different about doing a very similar job here versus down the street. So I love that. That's great. How do you guys get that out when you're recruiting?
Well, we'll usually talk a little bit about the culture. It doesn't always, if they don't ask the question, what's your culture like? But most people will ask what the culture is like. In some cases, I'll tell them if I'm meeting with them, because I'd like to give that as the intro. Our recruiters will give an intro about a little bit about who we are. So that's really it. We're probably our own best kept secret at this point, until now, with you, Mitch.
Well, I'm like I said, I'm honored to have you here and telling kind of the story of how you guys are building this in real time. A few minutes ago, you were talking about, hey, we're meeting, you know, to talk about where are our gaps in the organization, where can we fill gaps with current talent, where do we need external talent. As the company continues to scale, how are you handling the idea of employee development?
Yeah, great question too. So this is one of my pride and joys, because it's one of the things that I love to do. And it's coming in and building out a leadership team and a framework. And so we haven't rolled it out yet, but in the next month or so, it will be initially released. We've been doing little small snippets of it, testing it with the leadership team. But we're going to really kind of take a blended learning approach, and also kind of a train the trainer, where we're going to be working with our leadership team to develop different cohorts of different levels of managers. So the aspiring managers, the new managers, you know, maybe kind of more of a middle manager and the leaders, and then kind of do a train the trainer, where we might have like one of our leaders who we just had join, our VP of legal and compliance. We're going to ask her, for instance, perhaps to teach a class on negotiation. Mm-hmm. And with that, you know, we might set up a fireside chat, kind of understand a little bit about how she learned, obviously through her education. And then from there, you know, provide maybe it's a little video snippet or an article, that kind of thing, and kind of really kind of make sure that they have some homework so that we come back and we talk about it and develop these, what we're going to call coaching circles, to develop them a little bit more and to have conversations so that they can learn from their peers and their experiences of what they did, so we can make it practical in their everyday use. Mm-hmm. And so our program is going to be about an 18-month program. We believe that we've just promoted, you know, over the last year or so, a handful of new managers, and we believe that some of the more senior ones can learn from each other. So also creating kind of a mentorship at the same time.
I love it. Where did that idea come from to have these different cohorts and kind of the different coaching programs?
I just think it's over the years. I've done a little bit of each at every company. So this is really going to be the grand finale of like, here I'm pulling this all together. At Pear, I did a similar program, but not necessarily all of 18 months in a row. I think we did six topics. And over the, and then we implemented a coaching portion and a mentor portion. And so everyone's a little bit different. And so what I see at Element is we have so many knowledgeable, intelligent experts in our leadership team, and it would be great to tap into that. And I think they're all willing to do that. Some of them are already teachers in their own right. So
that's awesome. And I would venture to guess that a model like this, where you're creating cohorts and you're having on-the-job training from current employees versus like a learning and development platform where people log in and watch modules, I've got to imagine that the return is that much better. It has to be, right?
I hope so. Yes. And I believe it will be. I've seen great things. I've seen in the past that people just really value, you know, those kinds of programs. And I believe they will here too. They're very hungry for it at our organization right now.
That's awesome. And for those who are taking advantage of those, you know, being part of those programs, it creates visibility too, to kind of the next chapter of where they're trying to aspire to. And if they can make themselves visible and be proactive about really learning these tools and implement them, obviously, who do you think is watching what's going on in the organization? The people that have the power to promote them. So I think it's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I'm really looking for it. I think the thing that I love seeing most is the growth when something clicks with someone and they get that aha moment of, oh, I see, now I'm using the things that you all just taught me.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. So it's amazing. Looking forward to it. Yeah.
I think that's a really, really smart idea. That's great. Well, listen, there's so many awesome things that you're doing in such a short amount of time there. I give you guys a lot of kudos. One of the things that I know about you, though, from your background and some of the articles that you've written, was it Forbes? What major outlet was it about? What I wanted to ask you about is
Entrepreneur.com, I think.
Well, Entrepreneur.com. Thank you. Yeah. So you wrote this article a few years back about DE&I. And I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart. And you know, especially during COVID in the last couple of years, this was a huge buzz too, right? DE&I, DE&I. And I think that we can get carried away making it a buzz versus making it a reality. And so one of the ways to create diversity in an organization is common sense. You bring in people with diverse backgrounds, diverse ethnicities, whatever it may be. But what else are you doing in the organization to promote inclusion, to promote diversity? And from that, what recommendations do you have for other startups who are, they see it as an importance and are trying to figure out how do we actually bring this to reality?
Yeah. I can tell you that it's not a one thing and you're done. And it's something that's ongoing. And I know that during COVID, it was the hot buzzword, but it was a needed thing that was so desperately past due in so many companies. So it was a great opportunity to take advantage of that. And so at Pear, I did a lot of work there. We actually hired an external consultant at the time called Paradigm to come in and really kind of help us. So we did kind of like an all-encompassing survey that they provided us to say, where are you doing diversity? And so what I learned from that is that you get it from many different ways. Everything from your website to your policies, to how you interview people, to how you promote people, to their compensation, and all of those things put together, you have to really look at on a regular ongoing basis. So, you know, I think I knew that. And I think it just really kind of reinforced that having and working alongside a consultant. So I was really fortunate and privileged to do that. Mm-hmm. While we were a little bit more frugal here, I think at Element Science, what has been really fantastic is to work with a diverse CEO, to work with a diverse leadership team. Our managers are diverse. So they just automatically hire diverse people. And I haven't seen that at an organization before. So it's that to me is amazing to see. But from our perspective, there's still all those other things. So our website, one of the things, you know, when we rebuilt our website from a clinical site to now a commercial site, mm-hmm. You go to our website, elementscience.com, you'll see every single employee's picture is on our website. And, that's Uday, who says, you know, hey, we need to, you know, let people see that we are a diverse organization. It's very important to him. But at the same time, I was like, Uday, I don't know if it's going to scale. He's like, I don't care. I want it. And I was like, so great. So we have that. And if we have 300 people, we'll figure out some way to show all 300 people, which is really exciting to see, and to let people know that there are people that look like them on our site and in our company.
Yeah, that's amazing. I appreciate you saying that, because that was the one question I was going to ask you, is what do you mean by putting, you know, you leveraging your website to demonstrate that? So that makes a lot of sense to me. And kudos to Uday, man. That's a lot of stuff that I did not know about the company as far as what you guys are doing. And I love the fact that we have this platform to talk about what different organizations are doing, because I think that's how we all learn. We learn from each other. So really amazing stuff. It sounds like you guys are obviously on a path to something great for sure, with a demonstrated proven track record of doing it before. Before we wrap up, Kathy, one, I want to thank you for your time and the nuggets that you share. But I also want the audience to be able to hear from you firsthand. What are you excited about? What's coming up in the very near future for Element Science?
Well, I'm getting to roll out this leadership development program. I'm so excited about it.
Yep.
The other thing is, recruiting has been so much fun. I've built a recruitment team and they're just dynamite. And we're bringing in some great candidates, but we're going to have a whole slew in the next 6 to 12 months. So check us out. If you haven't connected with us on LinkedIn, that would be great. And follow us.
Amazing. So if it's cool with you, what we'll do in the show notes, we'll put a link to your LinkedIn profile and a link to Element Science website so people can come to you guys directly.
Fantastic.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being here, Kathy. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you. Bye now.
Thanks for listening to the MedTech Talent Lab podcast. For more content-rich episodes, log on to theanthonymichaelgroup.com or subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform.